The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning. Today is Thursday, September the 28th. Joining us this morning is Arcata CHP PIO XYZ, Matt Harvey.
Hey, yeah, good morning.
How you been?
Great. Always good. Always good to be here.
Yeah, I see. Been to marketing class. All right, are you ready for your question?
Let's hear it.
Why do we say that someone with a hidden agenda has an axe to grind?
Has an axe to grind. That's a good one.
As a boy, Benjamin Franklin was sharpening tools in his father's yard when a stranger carrying an axe came by and praised the boy on how good he was with the grindstone. He then asked Franklin if he would show him how it would work on his own axe. Once his axe was sharpened, the stranger simply laughed and walked away, giving young Franklin a valuable lesson about people with an axe to grind.
There you go. I never would have guessed that one. I was going to say something about the Roman Empire, something.
Oh, those are hatchets, dude. Yeah, weapon du jour.
Back a ways.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think they worried about it. I think that may have been where the phrase blunt force trauma came from.
I think, yeah, you could be right there.
I'm not sure sharp was a big concern at that point. Oh, boy. So what's been going on? We got school now in session.
Yeah.
Are you seeing any issues? I know in the old days, you'd see an officer just kind of in the neighborhood of the schools,
mm-hmm.
parked. And watching the flowers grow,
yeah,
so to speak. But I'm sure that there was one part of their vision that was focused on roads and people going by. I'm just, yeah, there's a reason that they're there.
Yeah, this time of year, we try to push the message out to our officers. We do a briefing before every shift and, you know, give them, you know, the direction or message, you know, if they're able to get out in the school zones. When school's coming in, where parents are coming in to drop off kids and then also picking them up again. And really try to hit it as hard as we can, especially towards the end of this, or the beginning of the school year, just to give kind of a reminder for motorists who, you know, live nearby, regularly drive by whatever given school it is, to just slow down. So, like, right out here, I believe it's Lafayette on Park Street. So that was one school that when I was working the road, I would often sit at because we got a lot of complaints there. And
I think the speed bumps kind of helped a little bit.
They do a little bit. It's just amazing to me how many people don't slow down, though. And we're talking, like not just a little bit too fast, but just...
Like 35.
Yeah, ridiculously 40, too fast. Yeah. And... so right at like Lafayette, there are certain school districts that the county has been able to put into place the 15-mile-per-hour speed limit when school children are present. And so, you know, now it gets back to that. What's the definition of school children are present? Because, you know, if they're on the playground.
In summer.
Right. Does that qualify? Yeah. So typically the way, you know, we see it is that it's when kids are outside of the fence line. But so it's not necessarily at the beginning of school, at the end of school. If there's a kid outside that fence line, that school children are present.
Go slow, stupid.
Right.
Period, I would think could be a good, you know.
And if they're not, slow down anyway, you know, because you don't know until you get up to the school what's going on. So
I would think the trickiest ones are probably either at the junior high or the high school level. Because most of those campuses aren't right on the road. There's the driveway. There's the setback. Right. Fortuna's a little bit different. You know, they're right there on the sidewalk. But Arcata's, you know, off and not on the main drag. Eureka's on the main drag, but it's still kind of a block away.
Right.
Those can be – McKinleyville's right on the main drag, too.
Yep.
At least you get some vista there.
Yeah. And not all school zones qualify for that 15-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Oh, really?
So I'm not sure exactly their criteria, but there's a set criteria that has to be in place for that 15-mile-an-hour speed limit to even be able to be put into place.
I would think the sign on the post would give a pretty good indication what it's supposed to be like.
It would, but then the...
But when present...
Right.
Is the variable, yeah.
But then we have to be able to, you know, let's say we write a ticket for 50 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, and somebody decides to take us to court, we got to be able to back up and justify why that is the case. And so when
the traffic law.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So the laws, speed surveys, school zone, and we officer has to be able to articulate, you know, that there was school children present, that there was, you know, multiple.
The officer on the stand has to have the studies.
Has to be. Now, with the 15 mile an hour speed zone, I don't believe that requires a speed survey.
Yeah, that seems like it would be out of their purview. That somebody else would be the one testifying. Traffic engineer is an example.
Right.
Rather than the officer who made the arrest.
If it's,
or
let's take away the 15 mile an hour speed limit for a second. So any given what we call prima facie speed law, so through the safety corridor, right? So 50 miles an hour when we're not talking about construction. So there has to be a speed survey in place that's current for us to be able to back up our justification for writing a ticket for that.
But that also has to be in place before they change the speed limit, right? And post it?
Yes, and that's a big part of them establishing that speed limit is the speed surveys that the county or the Caltrans does. And then typically the courts have the speed survey is on file. And so first thing the judge does and looks up and, okay, we have a speed survey active and current in that area. And then we move on to the testimony part of it. So
just it's a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Rather than getting into how many surveys were done and the tabulation right. and the methodology.
Yeah, so we don't get into all that as the officer, but what right. we do have to get into is be able to justify because it's prima facie. So what that means is that it's an unsafe speed for the conditions. So I have to be able to say, you know, there's a cutoff, there's cross traffic, there's pedestrians on the shoulder, there's often pedestrians crossing the roadway. So we kind of have to line up why it's unsafe other than just the sign.
Or maybe why the survey was initially done.
Right.
Because there's these things, correct. So a survey was done, and this is what it, you know, and it yeah. found out, and things were posted.
And that'd yeah. be part of it, too, so.
Yeah, it's, oh, interesting. And yeah. I suspect, well, I guess we can talk about it when we come back. Some of the things that you guys have in the courtroom are a little bit different than what many of us would expect would be part of the job, so.
Yeah, it's a different, it's not like the TV.
We'll take it from there. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Matt Harvey from the California Highway Patrol. So, Matt, as things are going on, part of your responsibility, I know from personal observation and knowing buds, that a surprising amount of your time is spent in the courthouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's on the stand, waiting to be called, talking, doing, you know, with the investigators and all right. that sort of thing. What are some of the surprises that most of us would have if we were to know, why are there so many cop cars outside the courthouse?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, me as being a citizen, and let's say I go to court for whatever reason it is, let's say, you know, the most common that we go to court for is traffic. You know, I'd have a little anxiety of going into the courtroom, not knowing what it looks like, can be a little intimidating going before a judge. And you get in there and you realize that you're one of 20, 25 people also fighting a traffic ticket. And it's just one after the next of, you know, of the citizens coming forward, giving their version of the story, officer going forward, giving his version of the story. And it could go...
Decision made, next.
Yeah, it could go, you know, 5-10 minutes. You know, sometimes it does go longer depending on the circumstances. And so it's a very just methodical, organized process that you go through. And, you know, of course, you know, you being a citizen, probably the first thing you're going to look for is, like, is the officer here? Because if the officer's not there and you're there, typically, you know, the case is dropped. And so, you know, we see, you know, people coming in looking for the officer, and then they, you know, they see the officer that wrote them the ticket, and you just see their shoulders just kind of, like, drop. Like, oh.
Yeah, well, I would think when it becomes routine for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, now all the anxiety is gone.
Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah.
You know what to expect. Where the general citizen, presumably, this is not routine. Mm-hmm. This is not something that they've experienced before.
Right.
And they have all that anxiety associated with the courtroom, the robes, the DA, the, you know, just all the different things that are part of this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So traffic court, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, is part of it. But how much time do you spend, you know, in that, for that 5 minutes that it's showtime for me, how much time are you spending?
Oh, it could be anywhere from 30 minutes up to a few hours or more, just depending on the courtroom for that day. But, you know, so we'll be there at the beginning of court. So typically it's like 1:30 or 2:30 p.m. on certain days of the week. And then we, so the officer needs to be there at the beginning of the, you know, the of the court calendar for traffic court. And then it goes into the calendar of, typically I think they go by alphabetical order of the last name.
So you could be there 10 minutes, you could be there all day.
Yeah, if I, you know, if I wrote a ticket to somebody and their last name is Zimmerman, you know, I'm going to be there for a minute.
And then that's not, that's is that taking away from time on the street?
Yeah, not always, but if the officer is working that day, that's time that, that they're not able to be out on the beat. And typically we let dispatch know, hey, we're going to be busy at court, you know, and our beat partners know to kind of pay attention to the area that that officer is covering for that, that moment in time. But then quite often officers get subpoenaed for days off also. And so, you know, there's that part of it. So any officer who's on graveyard shift is always going to be coming in on their time off because they work graveyard shift.
So is that in lieu of, or is that overtime?
That's overtime. Yeah, they get paid overtime for being there.
But they still have sleep deprivation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got, you know, so looking over to the criminal side of things, typically court starts around, we have to be there by, you know, around 9 in the morning. Well, an officer who gets off at 6:30 in the morning isn't going to go home and sleep for an hour and go back to work, you know, show up at court. Because we like to get there a little bit early and touch base with the deputy DA that's handling the case. And so, you know, they could be, you know, who knows what happened that night. You know, it could have been a super busy night and they were just going from call to call to call, get to the end of their shift, and then just wait until court starts and they've been up all night dealing with stuff and now have to show up for court.
And decompress from whatever...
Yeah, decompress, be on their game, be ready to testify if that's part of the deal, you know. So it can be exhausting.
How many, what percentage of the times that you're in court are you actually called to the witness stand? Is that pretty pretty high?
I would say it's relatively low. Not a, there's, you're not always getting subpoenaed to a jury trial. It could be a preliminary hearing. It could be a motion to suppress. So it could be kind of pre-trial type hearings that you may or may not testify in, depending on where that case goes. So you could have a case that you show up for some kind of pretrial hearing, but before that even goes, they may have worked something out with the defendant of some kind of guilty plea that it doesn't even go to that point.
But you still have to be there in case.
Yeah, because it's not known where a lot of these cases are going to go until it gets into the courtroom. So, yeah, we can spend a lot of time just kind of waiting to see where different cases are going to go. And, you know, sometimes we get up and testify, and oftentimes we don't.
So you have a travel backgammon?
Yeah.
Kit or...
Yep.
I don't think poker chips would be appropriate in the courthouse. KINS, News and Information Time.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back Talking Shop this morning with Matt Harvey from the CHP. So, Matt, when you guys and gals are, do they still have the box or is it a chair in the courtroom?
It's a chair and a box.
Okay. So when you're up there, you know, obviously for the situation, you want to be there, 100% dialed in. But if you're coming off a shift, or let's say you just had a big chase, so you're after the adrenaline dump,
right.
You're just kind of, you're trying not to drool on yourself because it probably doesn't look too professional. How tough is it sometimes to keep focus and be able to really answer the way that you want to answer? Rather than just, you know, we all kind of get in that spot and you don't really remember what it is that you were talking about even.
It's challenging, and especially, you know, it could be several years that an officer is an officer before they ever testify in a case.
So you had time fatigue also.
Yeah, and then there is kind of a skill set involved in just learning how to testify. So the first most important part of the whole thing is just being 100% honest and
truthful.
Truthful, but painting an accurate picture, not embellishing of what happened. And so, you know, for me when I'm testifying, that's a concern of mine I want to make sure that when I'm giving my side of the story of what happened, that it's accurate, you know, because that's what's the fair and right thing to do. And so with that, you're getting questions from both sides, right? You're getting questions from the prosecution side, and then you're getting questions from the defendant's attorney. And they can be some pretty difficult and pointed questions that are being thrown your way.
Like what?
Oh, you know, it could be anywhere from the reason for the stop. You know, it could be, for example, the defendant's attorney trying to throw out the stop itself, right? Because if they can successfully say that the stop was unlawful, therefore my client should never have been pulled over to begin with, and therefore everything after that.
So they're not saying that the drugs weren't illegal,
right? So that'd be like
or illegal. It was just. Yeah, okay.
So they're trying to suppress, like, the legal reason for the officer to initially make contact, right?
Because now, does that happen in the trial, or is that preliminary?
That, it can happen, really, from my understanding. I'm not an attorney, but it could really happen anywhere along the process. But that would be, like, a motion.
So you got to be on your toes.
Right.
Pretty much, or your memories.
Yeah.
Are you able to look at your notebook, Or I don't presume you have a notebook.
So this is where I went wrong my first time testifying, is I didn't know that I couldn't look at my report and just read it line by line. But you can't do that without getting permission from the judge to look at your report to help with your recollection of the case, because they want you to go by
memory,
your recollection of it. And so, you know,
but if it's been a couple of years,
and that's the challenge. So I, you know, typically with a case, I will be out looking at my report, doing my research, you know, going through my notes if I have them, but definitely the report itself on what happened. You know, because you're right, it could be, I mean, I've gone to trial on cases that have been pushed out 2-3 years. And, you know, it's like I can remember the totality of the case, but all the little details and what has gone on in my job since then.
Right.
You know, you got to go back and take a look at, you know, what time you towed the vehicle, what was your legal justification for towing the vehicle, you know, things
like that. So they'll look at that kind of excruciatingly detailed information.
Yeah, they'll get down, you know, and things that, you know, especially if the defense attorney is asking you questions, you may not know where they're going with it.
Yeah, what the end game is.
Right, okay, I know they're asking this question, but where are they going with this, you know? And so it can be a stressful process, you know. I think probably every time it's stressful being able
to understand. Well, are they in that setting routinely looking for information, or are they attempting to make it appear that you either acted improperly, mm-hmm. don't remember what was going on, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. you know, if you don't remember, how can you stand by anything? Kind of pick at you, mm-hmm. question your abilities, your skill sets.
That's part of it, is trying to.
So how do you not take it personal?
It's not easy.
Okay.
But I think that's part of being in a professional job like we're in, is you just have to go in there and just not take it personally. You know, this is just part of the job. It's part of what I signed up for. It's this individual's constitutional right to fight for their innocence, you know, as I would have that same right if I was, you know, the defendant. And so,
time probably. If you've been questioned 40 or 50 or 60 times over a couple of years, okay, you know the game.
Right.
So it's not personal. This is what they do. This is their job. Right. And your job is to respond and act properly, respond properly, and remember properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have that loop.
Yeah.
But you can't look at your reports, though, huh?
Not. I can't sit there and read it. I've got to get the judges.
Well, that'd be redundant.
Right.
If everybody has a copy.
Right.
But you can't look at your notebook, though?
No.
Oh, really? So you can't have your notes in front of you to refresh your memory?
You can, but you can't. I can't be sitting down there and just reading through my report, you know. So the deputy DA, you know, representing the prosecution, they can't just ask me a question, or they could ask me a question, like, just tell me from start to finish what happened. And then I can't look down at my report and read starting from line one to the end of what happened. I have to go with my memory. And then typically what they'll do is they'll start asking more specific detailed questions. And if I don't know the answer, they'll, you know, pose this question: would referring to your report help your recollection? And then I say yes.
Well,
Yeah.
But they have to go through that.
Right. So then they might say, you know, refer to page 5, line 15. Is this your, is this your report? Yes. Did you write this?
Did you use a spell check? Right. Yeah. Or is this what you meant to say?
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Matt Harvey. So, Matt, the concept of courtroom and testifying and things of that nature, do they teach that? Can you role play that? Or is that just straight up experience and you got to do it a couple of times before you kind of understand what is most efficient for the system, what is easiest for the individual also?
I believe going back 15 years to my recollection of the CHP Academy, there was some coverage of that. It's not a lot. And so it really just comes with experience. But, you know, the fact of the matter is me as the officer, I'm a witness to the case. So that's my role. Even if I made the arrest, I'm the arresting officer. I'm a witness to the case. And so if you just look at it as, what's my job? My job is to show up. My job is to give an accurate, explanation of what happened. My job is to be honest and truthful. And that's my job. And
so then, with the traffic citation arrest, that's one element. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's say it's a felony vehicular homicide. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of explains it. Uh-huh. You know, the deep sigh, because obviously the charges are far more significant. The impacts are far more significant. And I would think that the attention to detail or the requirements for detail would be much more granular. Rules are still the same in that kind of a setting, as well as busting somebody for going 10 miles over the speed limit?
It's different and the way it plays out in court. I mean, I think an attorney could explain a lot better, but when we're going to traffic court, typically there's the judge, and then there's me, and then there's the defendant, and sometimes I'll have an attorney, but not often. And so I have the burden of proof, so I go first. I give the story of what happened, where the stop was, reasons for the stop, how they were identified, anything they said. And then the defendant goes, and they don't have to say anything. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll just say no comment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, or sometimes they'll have a whole lot to say.
That's interesting that if they were contesting, that they wouldn't say at least why they were contesting.
Right. So I don't know if it's that they just were nervous or maybe they just didn't have any rebuttal to what the officer said. I really don't know. Maybe they were hoping the officer didn't show up. I've actually had people show up so I give my testimony of what happened, and then it goes to the violator, and their statement is, "Your Honor, I was just hoping that the officer wouldn't show up. I have nothing else to say." So
mea culpa.
Thank them for being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but when it gets to the criminal side, everybody in the courtroom knows the stakes are much higher. And, you get a situation where, the result is that somebody's going to be going to prison, and the stakes are high, and I think it's a more stressful just process for anybody to go through, because the stakes are so high, and you want to make sure that you say the right thing and you don't say the wrong thing.
So in that scenario, will you review, I would think, you would review all of your notes. You would review whatever case file that you had, because you want to be accurate. You want to be accurate, but you also want to be as thorough as possible.
Yeah, but I don't want to get stuck in a situation where, the defense attorney asked me a question that is in my report that I don't remember writing in my report. Could be a little embarrassing. So you want to make sure that you're on top of your game.
Do they question your memory at that point?
They can,
trying to bring everything into doubt.
Right. right? Or they could bring up something about the case that was an element of the case that you didn't write in your report. You know, it could be you submitted pictures, evidentiary pictures of the scene, and you didn't mention one of the items in the picture at the scene. You know.
Okay.
I remember taking a picture of a felony hit and run case that I that went to trial, and in the picture there was a soda bottle, and that was one of the things the defense brings up is, you know, explain to me what's in this picture. So I explained to him, and like, okay, there's a soda bottle. I'm like, yeah, there is a soda bottle.
There's a tree in the background, right. Also. Didn't talk about that, right. One.
And
can you get when you get questioned like that? My immediate response is to let the internal me out.
Yeah.
Say, well, there's a lot of things that I didn't mention either, you know, Attorney Bob.
Right.
Bing, 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 bing. But I didn't think any of those were germane to our discussion. Neither was a soda bottle.
Yeah. Well, and so, I don't know all the rules, but there will be a point where if you get too far off from the question being asked, where there will be some kind of an objection, and the judge will say,
and this guy with a robe says, okay, buddy,
answer the question,
focus. Yeah.
And so if I elaborate too much, I gotta be careful because they may object to that, and so I have to be very, very,
oh, so you're concise in your responses.
Yeah, so I have to be very intentional on answering the question that was asked.
Not like this show. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always a good time.
All right. See everybody tomorrow. This presentation of Talk Shop was recorded at a previous time for playback today.